Time again for those New Year's resolutions. To quit smoking, clean up the house, save money, and of course there's always dropping a few pounds. Success in keeping these resolutions is often determined by willpower and state of mind. And who's thought more about matters of the mind than the great philosophers? NPR's Nancy Marshall has this report on how the study of philosophy may help you keep your resolutions and change your life.
There's a whole group of people in the world who regularly curl up with Socrates. Bill Galston, the director of the Institute for Philosophy and Public Policy at the University of Maryland's School of Public Affairs, is one of them. And he takes to heart Socrates' belief that the unexamined life is not worth living.
A lot of what Socrates was doing was saying, you're living your life wrong, and here's why. Or, tell me why you're living your life correctly, and I'll prove to you that you're terminally confused about why you're doing what you're doing.
On this afternoon, Galston is hanging out with colleagues at the Philosophy Institute's holiday party. When asked how they feel about New Year's resolutions, some of the philosophers get into a debate over whether it's even a good idea to take stock of your life. Research scholar Mark Sagoff is wearing a Bah Humbug tie. He says self-examination is a natural thing. He draws that lesson from the German philosopher Immanuel Kant, who says we have an innate capacity for moral reason.
We shouldn't feel bad about it because we should feel that it's as necessary as breathing or eating. It's just part of what we do. The question is, how can we do it better, and how can we accept ourselves so that we don't let it drive us crazy?
There's a real sort of futility or worse to the standard New Year's Eve resolution when it's common knowledge that these resolutions are as regularly broken as they are made.
Studies show that's certainly true. A 1998 Gallup poll found that only 1 in 5 Americans is still honoring New Year's resolutions 2 years after making them. Bill Galston says the philosophers he knows aren't going to fall into that trap.
I don't think it's an accident that no one would confess to having made a New Year's resolution. Resolutions can't come on a timetable. You can make an effective resolution when you've come to a point in your life where you're capable of acting on it.
Take, for example, a decision you need to make about your love life. One person to turn to might be Plato, who's famous for his dialogues on matters of the heart. Got a problem with accepting things that are out of your control? It might help to pick up Epictetus, who says it's not our circumstances that trouble us, but our reactions to them. How about a resolve to change your daily habits? You might want to turn to Epicurus, who wasn't really a hedonist, but said we should make the most of each day. And then there are the larger social issues of how we as individuals relate to society.
If, in fact, we want to affect people's lives, we have to pay attention to social policy.
Jerome Siegel is also a researcher in philosophy at the University of Maryland.
By affecting public policies, we can create an environment within which individuals live their lives. And public policy isn't going to give anyone the good life. That's still there to be either won or lost as an art that you construct or fail to construct, one life at a time. But what we do with public policy is we create background conditions within which people live their lives. And that's what I was talking about, a politics of simple living, was really to set up sort of a set of public policies within which individuals have, as it were, a fighting chance to successfully construct a simple life.
As more and more people have searched for a way to find simplicity in their lives, they have turned to philosophy. Lou Marinoff is a philosophy professor at the City College of New York. He also works as a philosophical counselor who regularly sees patients. He says he doesn't counsel people with emotional problems, but helps clients think through their troubles using philosophical logic.
if you want to give up smoking this year, and you've already tried, you know, the patch, and you've tried the gum, and you've tried the, you know, the mantra yoga, and you've tried, you know, eating too much chocolate or whatever it is you've tried, you could also understand that there are philosophical reasons why people smoke, and then maybe you can get into that. So if the same old resolutions are not working for you, you could try to take them on philosophically and see if they work that way, or you can depart from the ordinary and make a philosophical resolution that you've never made to lead the more examined life.
In his book, Plato, Not Prozac, Marinoff gives examples of how he's helped people. Take the case of Vincent, who decorated his office with a print of a Gauguin painting which portrayed semi-nude women. One of Vincent's colleagues found the painting offensive, and Vincent's boss made him take it down. Vincent went to Marinoff to try to deal with the aftermath of the incident.
We said, look, Vincent, the system has the problem, not you. But you should understand that it is the system that has confused offense with harm. So it's really a systemic thing, and you shouldn't take it personally.
Marinoff says Vincent was eventually able to come to terms with what happened through the philosophy of John Stuart Mill. Marinoff spent about an hour with Vincent explaining how the Scottish philosopher's ideas applied to his situation.
Mill's philosophy is, in a nutshell, that we need to distinguish offense from harm, and that the state has an obligation to prevent people from harming one another, but the state has absolutely no mandate merely to step in if someone is offended. It is you who are responsible for being offended, and it is you, by the way, who have the power not to be offended if only you know how to exercise it.
Marinoff says he's constantly exercising his power to make choices about his life. He says this year he'll continue to resolve to be more patient and understanding. He draws inspiration from Socrates and Buddha. Socrates was modest and always sought out people wiser than himself. And Buddha said, "Carpenters fashion wood, the wise fashion themselves." Nancy Marshall, NPR News, Washington.